have you. How's it going, guys? Hey. Well, as somebody just said, my name's Danny. I am the community life pastor here at Mosaic at WW. And if you weren't here last week, we began a new series called Every Moment, where we are trusting and believing God in what he is going to do in and through Mosaic over the next couple of years as we are engaging to redeem every moment by, through, and for Jesus. And one of the pieces of that that meant a lot to the Disney campus, if you haven't heard about yet, is in this concept of us expanding our story, is that we are going to be moving starting December 1st. We're moving. Yeah, guys. It's really exciting. If you haven't heard that yet, we're moving December 1st, and this is our new location. It is over at a church building that is not too far away from here, about 5 minutes away, right across the street from Disney property on 535, and it's going to be a great space for us as we begin to meet there. Now, right now, it is under renovations. It's getting prepared to meet all of our needs, and it's going to look all shiny and new and spiffy, and all the good stuff's coming with it. But tonight, before we unpack some of the realities that are going to come with this new building and all that stuff, I wanted to unpack what we are believing God will do in us and through our community, whether we go into this new space or not. That it's not about any space. The space is, while it is a beautiful space, it is ultimately just a tool. Because we need to get on the same page as, what do we believe the church to be? Do we believe the church is something that we go to on Sunday nights or on Sunday mornings or on Saturday nights or whenever? Or do we believe that we are called to be the church? You see, we all probably grew up with different experiences, a mixed bag of feelings about what the church was like. Maybe for some of you, you were raised in a really healthy church environment. For you, church was a space where you grew in knowledge of God and what it meant to love him and to love people well, that you grew in relational depth in that space. Maybe for some of you, you had experiences that were far less than that. That you have had experiences within the organized church that's left you distrustful, anxious, apprehensive maybe. And if that's you, I don't blame you at all. I mean, I was raised in the church as well. And unfortunately, I had the opportunity to see the brokenness of many of people I looked up to in the ways that they followed after Jesus. I saw them respond to one another in ways that were far less than love and graciousness. And to be honest, I had some frustrations with people, but yet something happened when I was 19 years old. Despite my frustrations with some of the people who represented God, God continued to pursue me anyway. And he drew me near to himself, and I began to follow after Jesus. And my life was forever changed. For the first time in my life, I belonged. Because you see, I had been adopted into sonship in the family of God. I belonged. It meant everything. And all of a sudden, he gave me a purpose and he began to transform my heart through the power of his Holy Spirit. It was incredible. See, the difficulty for me, though, while I was kind of tempted to, well, I'm going to do my own spirituality all on my own. While I was tempted to kind of give up on the church, you know what? Jesus wasn't. In fact, when we look in the Gospels, he explained time and time again the prioritization that he had for the church, that the church was his plan A for preparing the good news of the gospel to the world, bringing light, life, and freedom into the darkest spaces of the globe. And you know what's crazy? Jesus didn't give us a plan B. That was his plan A, and that was it, that he would use broken and fallen people like you and me to go and change the world. That is crazy news. And in fact, in what I have seen in my life is that Jesus has continued to use me despite my faults, my brokenness, the ways that I fall short so often. And he does the same thing with his church. Jesus continues to use his church throughout the millennia despite its brokenness and its faults and its shortcomings. In fact, in Matthew 16, Jesus even says that he is on movement to build his church. So Jesus is actively continuing throughout the centuries to build up his church despite the brokenness of mankind. That's good news. In fact, in Revelation 19, that's kind of our present reality, but in Revelation 19, we see an even better future for the church. In fact, the church comes to Jesus in eternity to come, and as humanity in the church approaches Jesus, there's a metaphor that's used. The church is described as a bride that has been prepared, clothed in the white, the righteousness of Jesus, as it approaches the groom, Christ himself. Now that is a beautiful imagery, and I love that because now think about it. The last time you went to a wedding or anytime you've ever been to a wedding, it's the most boring moment is probably not when everyone stands up to look at the procession where the bride is coming in, right? That's not a yawn moment at all, right? That is a moment where you're like, wow, you're stunned. It's always gorgeous. The bride is 10 out of 10, drop dead, gorgeous every time. It is a special moment. You know that there's something beautiful that is commencing right now. And one of my favorite things to do is I always look at the bride and then I'm like starting to get emotional. So then I look at the groom to see if he's getting emotional. And sometimes it looks something like this. So, to answer your question, the first one, no, I was not about to throw up. But to answer your second question, yes, I was about to lose it. And that was me trying to hold it together the best I could. Because I saw Allie coming down the aisle and all of a sudden I could not contain it. And guys, this is the way that the future will be for the church. Beautiful, 10 out of 10, drop dead gorgeous. Despite its flaws and its imperfections and all of its shortcomings, it has been washed clean by the blood of Christ. This is the future of the church. This future is going to be realized despite the ebbs and the flows of our of whatever the culture's response is to the church in our present day. This means our commitment to being the church is a call worth living in because the future is bright regardless of whatever our current cultural moment stands to be, regardless of how imperfect the church may look today. This is our future when we are approaching our groom together. When we are approaching the one who paid it all to draw us near to himself. That is a beautiful moment. So we have this new space over at the IPC. Sweet. This new building that we're going to be moving into soon enough. Sweet. That sounds awesome. So what would it look like if we use this space to be the church, and we use it as an opportunity, as a tool to redeem every moment. That if we use it as a space for us to gather together, to grow, and to be sent out to go change the world. See, the church was meant to be a home base to redeem every moment. I'll say that again. The church was meant to be a home base to redeem every moment. Now, where I'm kind of drawing this from tonight is in Acts chapter 2. So if you want to open up one of the Mosaic Beautiful Blues with me, we're on page 1000 and I think it's 1008. Yep, 1008. If you are using a digital version of the Bible, we are on the English Standard Version of the Bible, if that makes it easier for you to be able to follow along. Now, let me show you what it looked like in the earliest example of the church, the same church that we are a part of today. No, not Mosaic Church, but the church of Jesus, where it started, where it rooted in as they engaged in their first worship gatherings together. What it looked like when they began to gather together. So let's start in verse 42. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayer. This fledgling biblical community coming together, gathering together in a worship gathering. They are coming together and they are devoting themselves first to the apostles' teaching, to teaching. Because after all, Jesus had told his disciples, who are now these apostles that are being mentioned here, he had told them to go and teach all that I have taught you. So now this is like literally like 4 months later, and what are they doing? They are teaching what they were taught by him. What were they taught? The beautiful story of the gospel, that God's kingdom was expanding today.
That it was bringing redemption, life, light, and freedom right now. That all those who would be drawn into the family of God would be adopted with full rights of sonship. Sons and daughters in the forever family of God. And then how do you live in light of that reality? What do you do in light of the fact that you are now an adopted son or daughter of God? So they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship. They devoted themselves to fellowship. They didn't just come to church and then skip out right before or whatever, trying to get out. And if that's you, sorry, that wasn't to call you out or anything like that. But they weren't just like coming in to quote unquote get fed and then get out before talking to anyone. No, what were they doing? They fellowshiped. They started to build relationships with one another. So they started to create genuine community. So they fellowshiped. They devoted themselves to fellowship. And then what else? To the breaking of bread and the prayers. Breaking of bread, this is a reference to communion. The breaking of bread that Jesus instituted, where he took part of the Passover meal and said, this is my body, that it was going to be broken. Every time you take this, remember me. This cup symbolizes my blood that was poured out for you. Every time you drink it, do it in remembrance of me. So they took communion and the prayers. So in other words, they were engaging in community and both spiritual rhythms, spiritual disciplines like prayer and spiritual remembrances, things like communion. So they were engaging all these things within the corporate worship environment when they were coming together to devote themselves to these things. Now, there's a word that I love in this passage, though. It says, and they devoted themselves. Notice what it doesn't say. And they begrudgingly accepted going to church on Sunday. And they felt like, well, I want God to love me, so I better show up. Or I haven't been there in a while, so I ought to go. Or it'll disappoint my mom or my dad or my grandparents if I don't go to church. Like, that's not what they were doing. Instead, it says they were devoted. Now think about a moment, maybe at some point you entered into a new relationship, or maybe you like adopted a puppy, or if you're the cat kind of person, you adopted a kitten. Like let's say any of those realities are your reality. In that moment, nobody has to like force you to hang out with your new puppy, kitten, or significant other, right? You are like have this devotion, this excitement. You want to. Nobody has to force you. And this is the way that they felt about this new biblical community they were part of. And they devoted themselves to these things. And then what happened? And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. So what did they experience? Incredible signs and wonders. The Spirit of God was moving in powerful ways in this community as they gathered together, devoting themselves to the Word of God and its teaching, committing themselves to living it out, succumbing to the will of the Spirit of God moving in them and through them. And as they lived in love with one another, they were more open to however God would use their community. I hope that we would do the exact same thing, that we would enter in that exact same way. And then verse 44. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. So they were together and had all things in common. Really? I mean, think about that. Do you think all of us have all things in common? And do you think that these individuals, yeah, they were all from, at this point, the church was primarily all made up of individuals who were ethnically Jews, but they were also came from all over the Roman Empire at this point that were spread out. So they had different upbringings, different levels of faith within their family to Judaism. So could they really have all things in common politically? What about their hobbies? What about their personality types? Do we think that they had all things together in every single way? Like as in, oh yeah, I fall after Jesus. Now I'm like a little Jesus and I'm just going to, like we're all just basically like little Jesus clones. Not quite, even though I imagine it'd probably be better for us if we were. But they probably really had some uniquenesses between them. But in the things that mattered most, they had all things in common. They had all things in common. Think about that. The centrality of Jesus. The beauty of the gospel. They had that in common. They had all surrendered their lives to him. They had their adoption into God's family in common. They were all brothers and sisters in the family of God. They had this devotion to biblical community in common, that they, when they had an issue with one another, they were going to work on it and figure it out. They had all things in common. And then what happened? Verse 45. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. Think about that. Think about that kind of community. Because they were all a part of the family of God, they treated one another like family. They treated one another like family. And think about it. If you have some good relationships with maybe your siblings or cousins, what wouldn't you do for them if you found out that they were starving? So like, let's say you get a call tonight from a cousin or a sibling who is starving right now. And you pick up the phone and they're explaining this to you. Would go, oh, let me just pray for you right now and pray that God would provide some food for you today. Like, hopefully you're praying for them. Absolutely. But also on your phone, you can Venmo them some cash so that they can go get a cheeseburger or whatever, right? Like, you would want to take care of them, like, because they're your family and that's what you do. And like, let's say you have no money left in your Venmo account. You might go and sell some stuff so that you can then go and buy them some food, that you can take care of their basic needs. That's what family does. And that is the way they were treating one another. Why? Because they were family. Because they were part of a family more truly than the one that bonded them genetically to others. They were a part of the forever family of God, brothers and sisters. And that is what we are. If you are in Christ, you are in the family of God. This was how the church was responding to their new identity in God's family. And then that led them and propelled them to a few different things. Verse 46 and 47, and day by day, attending the temple together, breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. It's a beautiful picture, right? That is a beautiful image. And on a daily basis, day by day, they were doing a couple things that we see here. One, they hung out. They hung out together. They liked to actually be together. Remember how earlier in the passage it talked about breaking bread in reference to communion. Now it's talking about breaking bread in reference to grabbing dinner. They just wanted to hang out with one another. They engaged in community. It didn't have to be some organized, fully structured thing. It was the overflow of the love that they experienced in larger community together that led them to greater community outside. It wasn't, come here, okay, I got my fill of people time, and now it was, we are a community, we're family, so come over and have dinner. This was the church being the church. They wanted to hang out with people. And, you know, side note, I just think there's a spiritual component to eating a meal with someone else, right? There's like a spiritual component to that. It's like this disarming. There's just a beauty of that moment when you're just hanging out. You just kind of can slouch in your seat a little bit, unless you're at a really nice restaurant maybe, in which case that's frowned upon. But you can just be yourself and they can be themselves. And you can just build relationships. And you know what's cool that this led to it for them? They received their food with glad and generous hearts. What did it lead them to? Radical thanksgiving. God, thank you so much that I am part of a community. Thank you for this food. This is delicious. Guys, and if they were like this in Jerusalem, now I've yet to go to Jerusalem and I've yet to enjoy Israeli fare, but I'm imagining that here in Orlando, we have even more reason to be grateful for the food choices that are around us, right? Like every culture is right here. So we should be thanking God every day as we share a meal together at Disney Springs, as we invite some friends over for our Taco Tuesday or whatever else, that we are just enjoying community and praising God for it, that we can be known. In the same way, I am praying that as we gather in our new space, that we wouldn't think that we would only be the church as we gather on Sunday night, but that it would lead to an overflow where we would go and be the church everywhere, every single day, Monday through Sunday, all the time, that we would go to redeem every moment. So they hung out together daily. What's the other thing they did? Well, it says they went to the temple. It says, and day by day attending the temple together. Now, this is a place of worship for sure. But we would be misreading this if all we saw that they did was that means, oh, it's like every day they went to a worship service. Because you see, this temple, this wasn't a safe place for them anymore. The temple that it's referring to is the temple in Jerusalem. The temple in Jerusalem is filled with the religious leaders who had just held the world's worst trial months before to kill Jesus. This temple they were going to sure was a place of worship, and hopefully they were doing so when they were there, but they were going into hostile territory to go and be the church as a gospel presence and as a gospel voice. This was the church going out, mobilized on mission. This was not them staying in safety. This was going into a place that could lead to their trial, to their execution. This is the church living in a ferocity that can only be driven by the Spirit of God moving powerfully through the church of Jesus. So the temple was a hostile place for the gospel, but they went in to go and to bring redemption into that space. And what happened from that? Well, they went and they proclaimed the gospel to the same people who spat on Jesus months earlier. That's beautiful. That is a reflection of who Jesus is and what it means for us to live by, through, and for him. So they went to gather together. They went and loved each other in community to demonstrate the gospel. And as they were sent from their safe place together in community, they went into hostile spaces. So we too get to do that every single day as we are sent from this new place that we will be gathering in into our every moment, every place we go into every day. It's not about our comfort. It is about us being mobilized to be sent out to change the world. And why not start here at WDW? This is the call of Jesus. So you see in this passage, there's this evident love that they had for one another. It kind of reflects something that we've talked about before, right? What Jesus said, he said that they will know that you, the world will know that you are my followers by your love for one another. So all of a sudden, they're loving one another, and what's happening? Well, is this just leading them to be self-focused, only worrying about their comfort, their wants, their desires? No, it's leading them to go and change the world. It says, praising God and having favor with all the people. That's crazy. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. So this didn't lead them to be inept, to be unproductive. This led them to change the world. That's our reality. That's our future. That's our present. This is what happened with the early church. So in recap, let's be this kind of church in our new space. Let's invite others into the story of our biblical community. Sure. But then let's let that love spill out as an overflow into every single space that God has provided for us every day. Let's be the church in our new space. Because remember, the church is meant to be a home base to redeem every moment. You see, the early church was filled with a beautiful diversity of gifting. And we see throughout the New Testament that we are ultimately like, interestingly enough, a mosaic, right? We're a mosaic where we all bring our broken shards of ourselves into the story. We hand it to the master artisan, and he pieces us together as he invites us into his family. And he turns it into a beautiful work of art that is absolutely stunning. See, this is what it means to be the church, to serve one another, to make Jesus known, and to redeem every moment. Some of the older couples who have, older couples and families, older, who have entered into the Disney campus, you're welcome, with the unique gifting of their experience and their heart, their passion to pour into the emerging generations of Disney cast members. I think of the Dahlians, I think of the Griffiths, I think of the Rowans, I think of these incredible families who have engaged in this
in this community, and of course, I think of the Tobinsies, who the video showed, and I think of these incredible families who have invested into this community. But I also think of a different type of older people within this community, those who are a part of the emerging generation, that you might have been here for a year, 2 years, 3 years, and you have bought houses, you've stayed around here to invest in emerging generations of Disney customers so that every 6 months, when an entire new campus basically arrives here, that we are here to love, disciple, and to pour into. This is what it looks like to be the church. This is what it looks like to redeem every moment. This is what it means. It's not about in 20 years, I'm gonna start. It's about today. It's about tonight. It's about next week, and it's about 20 years from now as well. It's about in whatever moment that God, we find ourselves in, trusting that God has us there intentionally, and that he's gonna do something captivating in the middle of it. I think about all those things, and I just get so excited. And I think of this new space that we will be stepping into is a space that will facilitate us being the church and redeeming every moment. So I'm gonna bring back up those pictures of our building, and we're just gonna kind of leave those up so you can have a view of as you walked in. Now, as you take your first steps into this new building when it's complete and it looks something kind of like this, it's meant to be a space that encourages community conversations and engagement with one another, that we would fellowship together, that we would hang out together, which is why that initial lobby on the top picture was kind of small. So we added a second set of double doors so that as you walked in, it would that the lobby environment would stretch in to the worship gathering space as well, so that we would literally bleed in and overflow into the gathering, so that we'd have more space to hang out, more space to get to know one another, more space to build relationships. And in this space as well, we're gonna have three different classrooms that we are currently renovating as well. These spaces are being renovated with things like couches and tables, things that are gonna make it feel comfortable and more homey, so that you might go and be a part of an equipping class in that space. Your D group can choose to meet in one of those spaces on one of the nights that we have the building. You might just want a space where you and a friend can just get together and just hang out for a little bit. This is a space that is being refurbished to facilitate exactly this. It is supposed to be meant to equip us so that we can actually be the church. But it will not just be a place for us to gather on Sunday nights. What's cool is that we will also be able to create deeper community within this new space, with the majority of our weekly community events being shifted over to this place. And we're also gonna be moving our events to predominantly being on Tuesday nights. Now, what this is gonna do, the hope is that by creating an intentional and consistent time and place, that it'll make it easier for you to be able to plan it on your schedule and even be able to invite other people in, because you know where it's gonna be and when it's gonna be at. So we have all these things with that level of intentionality in mind. But there's another thing that I'm really excited about. But you know what else helps facilitate community? Not falling asleep in the middle of a worship gathering and realizing, like, I need to leave as soon as we get out of here because our gathering's at 8:02 at night. So what's cool is we were able to reevaluate the time that we meet, and we are now gonna be moving our time to 7:02 p.m. beginning. Yeah, I know. Hallelujah is right. It's gonna be so great. And the reason we're making this shift is because by giving an additional hour, you might have more time to hang out in the lobby. Maybe go and grab a late dinner with a friend. Maybe you just need an extra hour of sleep because soul care matters too, right? With all these things, it's just with a focus of intentionality. And when you come into this gathering space, we're gonna have food because breaking bread should be delicious, right? So we're gonna be doing all these things in community. Now, for the last year, some of my incredible friends started up a CP shuttle squad that has been doing incredible job at meeting Disney cast members over at current housing over by Little Lake Bryan, and basically providing a shuttle of their own vehicles to bringing CPs to come and experience this biblical community. And with us now meeting off property, we wanted to double our investment into that. For the first time, we are going to be purchasing, hopefully before we move in, Mosaic at WW shuttle. It's going to be a van, yeah, so that we can invest in into our college programmers, so that they know that there is a safe and easy transport to find, so that they can get here, and so that our volunteers
aren't always having to use their own personal vehicles as well to make that happen. So all these things with a focus on how are we cultivating biblical community? How are we engaging in being the church? Now, earlier I mentioned the beauty of the diversity of the unique gifts that we all have within the family. And as we move into this new space, there is even more opportunities for each of us who call Mosaic at WW home to step into space of serving as part of one of our serve teams. For example, we are going to be, for the first time, creating a safety team. Basically, just to have some individuals who you can trust and know have been trained to handle any situations that might arise, and that you know that somebody else is watching out for all different vantage points of safety. So we're creating a safety team. We're going to double our investment as we continue to pour into our Connect team, the incredible blue shirts who stand out there in the lobby every week just looking for new people to help get connected into community. We want to continue to invest into our blue shirts, things like our shuttle squad, our hospitality team, who will be providing all those delicious snacks, things like donuts or coffee or whatever we end up serving, and our incredible setup teardown team. Guys, our setup and teardown team, guys, can we just... For 7 years, we have been setting up and tearing down. That's like 49 different generations of setup teardown teams, guys. So because it's going to be a semi-permanent space, there's only going to be mild stuff to set up and tear down. Not all of this stuff every single week. More like chairs and or tables or whatever those kind of littler things look like. But all these different spaces need us to step up and serve in that. So if you're not currently serving, but you would sense the Spirit of God prompting you into serving in one of these spaces, I would invite you to talk to one of our blue shirts tonight, and they will just kind of help you get an initial connection into whatever areas you might be called into serving into. And besides, and other than these areas, there's a ton of other ways to serve as well for your unique giftings. So I think that all that has happened in and through this community, in this building over the last 6 years that we've been meeting here. I mean, I think about the fact that 5 years ago, I came here for the first time and I experienced this community and my life has never been the same since. This is what God can do in the Holiday Inn. This is what God can do wherever we meet. See, the church is not a building. The church is not a building. The church is us, the family of God that meets and gathers together regularly. That is a tool. Buildings are tools. So let's use it as the most effective tool that we can use it as. But remember that it's not our Savior. Jesus alone is that. And we together will be the church. And I'm just praying how God would use this space to be a new home base for us as future generations of cast members come in and engage in community and find hope, lasting hope that is beyond any magic that we could discover at Disney. That we could find lasting hope and freedom in Christ, because we were meant to be a home base to redeem every moment. So you see, the church has never been perfect, but our future is secure. And it's literally already written down in the book of Revelation, and it's pretty cool. It looks beautiful, and it's audaciously victorious through Christ alone. So, how about it, guys? How about we go and redeem every moment in this new space? What do you guys think? And let's pray. Father, I can't believe you use broken people like me. Like us. That you have called us into your family and that you have seen us and you desire us and you want to use us in incredible ways to increase your glory, to beautify the name of Jesus. God, it's so cool. It's so cool what you're up to. God, we know that you love cast members, that you love guests, because they're people, each of them uniquely created in your image. They just need to discover that they have been created in your image and that they can be brought back to life through the power of your Holy Spirit. So I pray that as we enter into this new space, that it would be a space that would facilitate relationships, that would facilitate community, that would facilitate growth, that would facilitate life. God, thank you so much for everything you're calling us into as a community. I can't wait. I can't wait to see the story that you are writing. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.